we just ask you to give us understanding on tonight so that we can put it into action. And we just praise you in the name of, again, our Savior. We do pray. Amen.
All right.
What we're getting ready to do is get into the lesson on tonight. Now, where did we stop off last? Y'all know? That's Wednesday, right? Okay, we'll go back there. Was it verse 1? Okay, so it's 17 verse 1. It said, all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of sin, and after their journey according to the commandments of Jehovah, and pitched in Rephidim. And there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt Jehovah? And the people thirsted there for water. And the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is it that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and the children and our children and our cattle with thirst? And Moses cried unto Jehovah, saying, what shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. And Jehovah said unto Moses, go on before the people and take with thee the elders of Israel and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river. Take in thine hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee, therefore, upon the rock of Hor. And thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it that the people may drink. That the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massa, or Maka. That's in the Hebrew. Massa and Meribah. Because the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted Jehovah, saying, is Jehovah among us or not? Well, first of all, when you look at when you look at this here, there are some things that that we want to take note of, especially when it starts dealing with things as far as the rock is concerned. Especially when you look at it from a perspective of how we're actually supposed to see this. Verse 6 it says, "Behold, I will stand before thee there up on the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. Now, when you look at, again, this here in the detail of it, in order to understand the magnitude of this, we'll see that that this rock wasn't what we would get a mental picture of as far as a rock is concerned. You know, a lot of, especially when you get to dealing with a lot of things, the movie that all of us probably have seen at one time or another, the Ten Commandments and stuff like that, you know, with Charlton Heston and Heston and all that stuff. What you'll see is that the reality of it, and it's some things that you can actually go look at photos of where they believe that it's the actual rock that Moses hit. And when you look at the number of us who came out of Israel, we're looking at a couple million people who came out of Egypt at the time. And so this is not like it's a little boulder or something like that that he hits on and water starts gushing out of it and everybody go get him a drink like that at the water fountain. This was a rock. I'll just put it this way. When Moses hit this rock and the rocks split or opened and allowed the water to flow out of it, that gap that the water flowed out of it, I've seen men standing in between the crack where this water came out of, and the rock itself is huge. It's huge, you know, not the size of a mountain, but I'm talking about a really big rock that this water came out of. Because when you look at the water flowing out of this rock to give, you know, a couple of million people water to drink, it was a huge rock. And I'm talking about, you know, people I've seen standing beside what they believe to be the rock that this water came out of. It was so much force that came out of it. You know how, like, if you go to a riverbank or something like that, the water's flowing through, where you can see, like, the crevice or whatever that's cut through that, you know, through those rocks. You know, if you're thinking about some kind of river or something, the crevice that's cut through those rocks, you know, through those rocks from that constant flowing of water, where you can see the same thing as far as this particular rock is concerned, you know, where they believe that this water flowed out of. So it wasn't some small, you know, little boulder or something like that. This was a huge rock. Like I said, the water that gushed out of it, if you look at these windows here, it was at least maybe anywhere between two or three of these windows wide. So you're looking at roughly around about 6 feet or better space between when he hit it and it split and allowed water to flow out of it. And so I just wanted to point that out to kind of give us a mental picture, you know, somewhat to, you know, for us to realize that it was a lot of it was a lot of water flowing out of you. Okay. And so again, Verse 6 says, Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. Verse 7 said, and he called the name of the place Massa and Meribah, because the children of the children of Israel, and because they tempted Jehovah, saying, Is Jehovah among us or not? Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, Choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek tomorrow. Tomorrow I will send. I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of Yah in my hand. And so, when you look at this that's getting ready to take place, it shows you that the children of Israel, obviously they were beginning to wander in the wilderness, but at the same time, Amalek is the descendants of Esau, and so you're looking at Esau and Jacob or Israel being brothers, but yet you're still seeing issues going on with with the descendants of Esau and then our nation, and so Amalek is gathering the fight against Israel, and so. You know, you see this taking place here. And verse 10 says, And Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat down, and he sat there on it. Aaron and Hur stayed up his hand, one on one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady unto the going down of the sun. So, I mean, when you look at some things that's taking place here, you're seeing where there's a battle taking place. Moses, for whatever reason or another, he's having to hold up his hand, and as you see him start to get tired, so they sit him down, each one of them get on each side of him and hold up his hand. Because, you know, as he did that, that's when Israel was prevailing. But when he would get tired and put his hand down, then Amalek would start to prevail. And so verse 13 says, Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. With the edge of the sword, verse 14 said, And Jehovah said unto Moses, Write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. For I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And there are some things that you can go that we can actually go look at and see. And see what that's fulfilled, especially when you go to 1 Samuel, the book of 1 Samuel, you can see that being fulfilled in some areas. Then verse 15 said, Moses built an altar and called the name Jehovah Nissi. Jehovah Nissi, for he said, because Jehovah has sworn that Jehovah will have war with Amalek, for generation to generation. For generation to generation. We're going to the next chapter. When Jethro, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, heard of all that Yah had done for Moses and for Israel, his people and Jehovah, and that Jehovah had brought Israel out of Egypt, then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took Zipporah, Moses' wife, after he had sent her back, and her two sons, of which the name of one was Jershon, for he said, I have been an alien in a strange land, and the name of the other, Eliezer, for the Yah, my father, said he was mine help and delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with his son and his wife and Moses unto Moses in the into the wilderness, where he encamped at the Mount of Yah. So, I mean, this is just other confirmation that our nation wasn't lost. Okay, verse 6, and said, you know, lost from being in the wilderness. You get the impression that they were just lost and didn't know where they were. You know, if Jethro's father-in-law, I mean, he knows where they are. Amalek knows where they are, so they wasn't lost. Verse 6 said, and he said unto Moses, I, thy father-in-law, Jethro, am come unto thee, and thy wife and her two sons with her. And Moses went out to meet his father-in-law and did obeisance and kissed him, and they asked each other of their welfare, and they came into the tent, and Moses told his father-in-law all that Jehovah had done unto Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake, and all the travail that had come unto them by the way. It's just reading, y'all. It's really not a whole lot to deal with, so we're just reading until something y'all need us to deal with, and how Jehovah delivered them, and Jethro rejoiced for all the goodness which Jehovah had done to Israel, whom he had delivered out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Jethro said, blessed be Jehovah, who had delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of Pharaoh, who had delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians. Now I know that Jehovah is greater than all gods. For in the thing wherein they dealt proudly, he was above them. You know, and I mean, even when you look at verse 11, it says, "Now I know that Jehovah is greater than all gods." For in the thing wherein they dwelt proudly, he was above them, and that's what we got to get to the point. To where we as the people of Yah are so back connected back to Yah and obeying Him in His law, statutes, and judgments that when these other gods or other religions, whatever however you want to call it, present themselves in a way to where they try to, for whatever reason or another, to degrade us as a people, to degrade our Yah, that we be so connected to Yah to the point to where there's proof or there's evidence for whatever reason or another to show that our Yah is the Yah of all gods, and that's one of the things, you know, I've been having phone conversations with with a few people and things like that, and there's some things that we've been discussing from this perspective, and we're all on the same page. Whereby this verse 11, specifically verse 11, is something that I think is very relevant for today. I'm at a stage of life where I'm saying, okay, whoever God is, God, the real Yah, let's worship Him, because I know we serve the real Yah, the one true Yah, but at the same time, there are so many things that that people are doing and standing their ground on and making challenges from a perspective of who we live for and things like that. And I'm ready to see this thing manifest in what we're looking at in verse 11. You got a lot of proud people on this earth that worship other gods for whatever reason or another. And you see a lot of things that's going on in the earth where people feel like they're so much above mankind or anything that could be classified as God, that they feel invincible. They feel like they can get away with whatever. And there's a lot of crazy stuff going on in the world that you know, you got certain people that just feel like they have no accountability, They can just do whatever they want to. Well, I want to see this manifest. And that's one thing I've been talking to y'all about, you know, the past few days. And I've been like, okay, you know, there's some things that you called me to do. There's some things I know I was born to do. But I'm not trying to be someone who goes out in his own strength, you know, because there's nothing on the other side of that, but it's just a matter of somebody positioning themselves to take me out for whatever reason or another. But yeah, I need you to manifest your way in a way that you manifested yourself to our nation, according to how we're reading it now. You know, and so so to read that verse and then get just some things that we've been discussing, you know, because a question was asked to me. It was based upon Psalms 103, which basically deals with the us walking in health, being healed from sickness and disease and things like that. And so the question that was asked me, you know, that was brought to me was, okay, if this is, or since this is the truth, why are we as believers not experiencing Psalms 103, which is really a confirmation of Isaiah 53 and 5, 4 and 5, I think, 3 and 5 at least. You know, he's wounded for our transgression, he's bruised for our iniquity, chastised by our peace is upon him, with his stripes we are healed. And so the question was asked is that, okay, we're believers, Christ died for our, He died that we may be healed. So what is the problem? And so what I pointed out is one thing that we've been dealing with from the perspective of John 1 and 12, Romans 8 and 14, you know, of course, you know, to them that believe, John 1 and 12, he gave them the power to become the sons of God. And then Romans 8 and 14, for as many as believe, for as many as are led by the Spirit of Yah, they are the sons of Yah. And so I'm saying that's what's the difference. And so I went full circle to bring back to verse 11, and that it is valid for us to manifest as the sons of Yah or the G race as we've titled it, because things are coming to head to the point to where Yah is ready to pull down the proud from what they serve. And make a clear distinction between what belongs to him and what does not. And and so since that's the case, we have to constantly position ourselves whereby we obey his laws, statutes, and judgments in order for that to take place. And I'm gonna read verse 11 again, and I'll continue. Verse 11 said, "Now I know that Jehovah is greater than all gods." What? Oh, go ahead.
So, in chapter 18, verse 1, it says that Jethro, the priest of Midian, what kind of priest was he? I mean, was he a priest of God? Or, and he's just saying, now I know for myself, God is greater than all gods?
What you mean? Is he a priest of what?
Of Yah? Or was he just a priest of some other god?
I don't know. It just says a priest, the priest of Midian, and so I'll take it that I'll take what I'll say it from this standpoint. He's a descendant, I want to be careful because I can't remember, but I think he's a descendant of Abraham. But he's not an Israelite. And so when you look at it being a word priest here, I mean, maybe I'm not for sure. I can't remember. So when you look at the word priest, it may not be the same definition meaning of what we understand as far as a priest. Meaning priest, when you look at the Hebrew meaning of the word priest here, it means chief officer, chief ruler, and so it doesn't apply to the Levitical priesthood as far as Aaron and all those the Levites come from. And so when you call it, you know, it's an old term where they'll say, you know, you're a priest of your home. He's basically nothing but a chief ruler of the media. And so, like I said, I don't know if I'm just looking at some of the definitions here, and it says a son of Abraham. It says a son of Abraham, so I don't know. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I couldn't remember it. And so,
he's a son of Abraham.
Okay. And so him being a priest is not the same. I mean, that's a good question, though. Him being a priest is not the same as far as the priesthood, the biblical priesthood. So it's just a translation saying he was the chief ruler of Midian. Okay, now we'll continue on. And so again, when we look at verse 11 again says, now I know that that Jehovah is greater than all gods, for in this thing wherein they dealt proudly, he was above them. Especially when you're looking at all these other gods, especially Egypt, you know, the Egyptian gods and different things like that. And so it said, and verse 12 said, Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took a burnt offering and sacrifice. And sacrifices for Yah, and Aaron came and all the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses, father-in-law, before Yah. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood by Moses from the morning unto the evening. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, what is this thing that thou doest to the people? And why sittest thou thyself alone, and all the people stand by thee from morning unto evening? And Moses said unto his father-in-law, because the people come unto me to inquire of Yah. When they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one and another. And I do make them know the statutes of Yah and his laws. And Moses' father-in-law said unto him, the thing, huh?
I mean, it's like that one thing shows how our justice system tries to operate in the next, but it's an imitation of this.
Right.
Make them know the laws of the land.
Right. Right, and what makes it so perverted is because you know, like you're saying, they do their judgments based upon the laws of the land, the laws of Yah, and so you have so if it's like what Brent recently went through, and also Mama Coates went through from a perspective of them using the laws of the land, whether they were perverted or not, to try to justify, you know, their reason for doing the thing, or for their reason for making a judgment. It wasn't about whether it was right or wrong. It was using the law to manipulate things their way, you know. And you see how it, you know, like you said, that government, that structure, what has been set up by Yah. It's just that mankind has gotten a hold to it and perverted it. And you see a lot of people's lives, for one reason or another, have been affected in a negative way based upon that. So, I mean, that is true. Then verse 16 said, when they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one and another. And I do make them know the statutes of Yah. So his judgment is not based upon him saying, well, this is how I think it ought to be. It's based upon the statutes and the laws of Yah. Okay? You know, basically the Torah. That's what it's based upon, the laws of Yah. Okay? Then verse 17 said, Moses' father-in-law said to them, the thing that thou doest is not good. Thou wilt surely wear away both thou and this people. And so when you look at the word wear away, it brings about it. I like how Yah deal with our minds now. And the reason why I'm saying that is because there's so much that we miss. There's so much that we miss or have missed. And I mean, it was in this season, for whatever reason or not. There was so much understanding that was missed because we didn't understand how to repair the breach. And from repairing the breach, it has positioned us. You know how when I dealt with the teacher, when I was saying the way that we understand is Yah revealed precept upon precept, line upon line, and I use it like him laying a layer, building a brick house or a brick wall, laying one layer. Then once we understand that layer, he lays another layer. And from laying off these layers now, the understanding comes across so much better now. Because when you look at even when you look at verse 18, it's just that because the repairing of the breach is there, and there's so much truth that's come about that Yah totally deal with my understanding so differently that he's able to stop and cause me to consider words that's valid for understanding. And I said all that to say this. When you look at verse 18, it says, thou wilt surely wear away. You know, I always looked at it from a perspective of, okay, if you're going to, you know, from doing this, I just put myself in the shoes of, now I would say, y'all ain't going to wear me out. And then wear the people out. And it reminds me of something that you said, Alan, you know, from a perspective of the system that's set up in place now based upon the laws of this land. Now, when you look at the word where it says, thou shalt surely, when thou shalt surely it says thou shalt surely but then it deals with a different perspective, because the word surely and the word wear away is the same. It's the same, but when you look at the way we look at it, that's one version of it, but then he wants us to understand what makes us wear away. Okay? In other words, surely lets us know that we're going to fail. So when you look at the word surely by itself, he says you will fail. You will fail. It's going to go into disgrace and things like that. But when you add surely wear away to it, it brings it into a deeper meaning, where it's like the court system today. There's a wearing away of the individual, that's doing the judgment from a perspective of them being not sensitive to doing things according to the laws and statutes of Yah. So that wearing away means they've been so desensitized to the point to where they're not trying to figure out what's right or wrong. It's just a matter of trying to manipulate the law enough for somebody to win. So the wear away has to do with an esteeming of the laws and statutes of Yah, whereby that's not the important issue. Truth is not the important issue anymore. And then when you look at the surely wearing away associated with that, it lets us know that there's foolishness involved with it. He said, Moses, you keep doing this, not only are you going to get tired, but you're going to start being desensitized. And from that, people are going to come in front of you and stand in front of you to be judged. It's going to be a serious matter, but you're going to be, you know how like you go on cases and they've been doing it so long, it's just a formality. They sound like recording. Most, you ain't going to even be listening to the folks. You're going to be just sitting here, let me just get this out of the way and I'm going to just rule on whichever I feel like I ought to be ruled on. He said, Moses, you're going to wear these people down. You're going to wear yourself down. You're going to be so desensitized to the point of righteously judging these people according to the law, statutes, and judgments of Yah, to the point where it ain't going to be nothing but a bunch of foolishness in your judgment. Now we have the court system. So when we look at the wearing away, it's much deeper than what we've looked at. We just scratched the surface. When I'll be like, man, y'all going to wear me out, and I'm going to wear y'all out. You know, they're just sitting around me. Y'all was like, no, it's not just necessarily that, but you need to have enough people that's hearing from me and lining up with the statutes and judgments of Yah, whereby this thing can be done right to keep foolishness out of this judgment. That's what we have today in the court system. We have a wearing away of the righteousness of why the court system or the judicial system has been put in place to have people who are conscious about the laws and statutes, judgments of Yah, and are able to have enough people that operate that way to the point to where you don't have these courts being just a circus that's designed to try to see who they can wear out. You know, they tried to wear Brent out. Okay, tried to wear him down in 2 weeks. Okay, let's wear him down to the point to where he's going to be glad to take 5 years. Well, that ain't going. Let's try to keep wearing him down. He's going to take something. He's going to take, and so it's just a circus now.
Or even the style.
Exactly.
Even have that psychological effect on
you. Exactly. Even the psychological effect, and at the same time, we making money. You know, and so when you look at that now, you see it in the way Yah want us to understand it. Jethro is giving words of wisdom here, where he said, Moses, you're gonna fail, you're gonna be worn out, you're gonna be tired, and you're gonna quit esteeming this, and you're just gonna go through the motions. And this gonna end up being a bunch of foolishness. You sitting here from morning to evening, judge these people. After a while, you're just going to be like, man, just whatever. You know, give him the stuff. I don't even want to hear nothing else no more. That's what he was saying to Moses. Surely, Moses, you're gonna wear away. That was surely. So when you look at the word surely, it's Nabal. And you look at the word wear away, it's Nabal too. So he's using the same word. This is gonna be a bunch of mess. Moses, you doing this here? You're not gonna extend this. You're gonna fall away. You know you're not gonna be caring about what these people say. And you see it a lot in the court system now. It's so much drama associated with it. You have to fight sometimes just to try to stay awoke in that stuff. You know, and a lot of people don't realize they're responsible for somebody's life. And things like that. It just becomes so desensitized to the point where you've got a bunch of foolishness going on in the courts now. It ain't about trying to find out what's right and wrong. It's about trying to see who can win. So you got a defendant and you got a prosecutor and you know, both of them just trying to win. They ain't trying to figure out what's the truth. You know, anybody who know Brent, for an example, they know he's so sensitive about things and stuff like that. He'll cry in a minute. That's just him. I'm just used to it. I'll be like, oh man, here you go again. You know, and so you know the DA was so desensitized to just trying to win to the point to where he was trying to even use that to his advantage. Oh, those are crocodile tears. He ain't really crying. I'm like, what kind of crap is that? Showed you how far the system has fallen from when it was first set up to righteously judge people the way that it's supposed to be. Okay. Now, you have something, Alan, before we move? Good. Okay. Anybody else? Okay. Verse 18. Now, Moses' father-in-law said unto him, the thing that thou doest is not good. Thou wilt surely wear away, both thou and this people that is with thee. For the thing is too heavy. Okay? It's too heavy for thee. It's too difficult. You even look at one thing when he said too heavy, he said, this is stupid. This is difficult, and because his foolishness associated with it, this is stupidity. There's no wisdom behind this whatsoever. Okay, it's too much. It's too late. And it's too much to do. For thee, thou art not able to perform it. Thyself alone. Okay, hearken now unto my voice, verse 19, and I will give thee counsel, and Yah shall be with thee. Be for the people to Godward. Be for the people to Godward. And that just means like there's some different words that I'm looking at. I'll just say up front, kind of keep it in the simplest form. Be for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto Yah. In other words, go ahead.
It's almost like, okay, give an example of what he's doing. If it ain't been determined in laws and statutes and stuff like that, okay, that's the kind of stuff that you want God.
Mm-hmm.
If it's something that can be judged based on what God has already said, then you know, you ain't got to take these cases before God. So the whole kind of thing that basically in a nutshell that either it's ambiguous, or there's nothing dealing with it, they take those things before God.
Right.
But all the stuff that, you know, the laws have already said, this is what it is, that stuff you don't have to deal with.
Right. Exactly. And so again, he says, be for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto Yah. Like what Alan said, if you don't understand certain things, then you take that to Yah. If you need instructions, then you take that to Yah. There's an order in how Yah had set, you know, was setting thing up, and he was using Jethro to do it, to advise him on how to do it. Then verse 20 said, and thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws. Okay? He said, there are things that you need to concentrate on. These issues are not what you need to be dealing with. You need to be focusing on teaching them the ordinances and things like that of Yah. And at the same time, once you teach them, allow these other people that we're going to read about to go in and make judgments and enforce these laws and statutes that's been set there. You shouldn't be trying to go to Yah and then sit here and listen to the people at the same time. He's getting things set up in the order of how a nation should operate.
So I think which is important, based on what we understood from 18 and 1, him being a priest or a chief ruler, He's already been in a position of authority to deal with people or to even have gone through this process himself.
Right.
And so now, since he's already the ruler of this land, this area, he can counsel Moses, who hadn't necessarily been the ruler over.
Amen. Number two, yeah. Tending sheep or whatever on the backside of the mountain. He used to dealing with people, you know. That's
true. Still, this part is him for him to understand, okay, as a leader, this is how you should do it, brother. Listen.
Right. That's true. That is true. Now, what would we, verse 21 now? Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people. Now, look at this. Able men. Now, when you look at able, it means resources, strength. It deals with somebody who has a reputation or somebody who has a status already among
somebody
his people. Exactly. And so when you look at it, say able men such as fear Yah. First of all, that counts out a lot of judges and attorneys and stuff like that now. Because when you look at the standard that's set up, nobody should be trying to sit and judge somebody who does not reverence Yah. Yah has to bring his supreme authority in the decisions that he makes. And one of the things, I keep bringing up Rick Case because a lot of things that I had opportunity to just see and witness and stuff like that. There was, you know, the DA that tried to, you know, get Brent all those years, he ended up leaving right after that trial was over with. I think the next week he moved to somewhere else, out this way now, in the Metroplex somewhere now. But he was asked, I think Sean asked him, he's like, well, you know, don't you want that position or something like that? And he was like, he said, you know what? He said, I couldn't do it. He said, because in doing that, it goes against my moral principles. Basically, what he was saying in a nutshell is, you know, he doesn't call himself a religious person, but he was saying in a nutshell that there are moral standards that he has that makes him not be willing to try to destroy somebody's life when he know they're not guilty. He said, I just couldn't do it. I couldn't accept the position. And so when you look at it from that standpoint, that's the way all positions of being judges, whether you got city council people, whether you got mayors, you know, presidents, you name it, all these positions of governmental authority should go by this standard right here. They should be someone who reverence Yah, because reverencing Yah now positions them to be used to make a judgment, because they're going to make the judgment based upon the laws and statutes of Yah instead of, you know, well, I don't like you. Since I don't like you, I'm going to try to, you know, do what I can.
So is that not our fault?
Yes, it is.
What we're supposed to be doing, because we fell short of the mark and passed on to somebody who never was intended to have the capability to do it.
Yep. One of the things I even said in one of my posts that I did, I was like, you know, when you look at our political leaders today, they are a reflection of our faith. And I was basically letting everybody know, okay, if you're really disappointed about some type of political leader for whatever reason or another, then we have to understand that person got in position because there's something, or like there was something going on, or like thereof going on with us that enabled that individual to get in that position. And so when you bring it all the way up to the highest level of it, we as a nation didn't follow laws and statutes and judgments of Yah. Therefore, we didn't position ourselves to be the royal priesthood and the holy nation. In the New Testament, the light of the world or the salt of the earth, to teach men to do the same. And so everything that's going on today, even the crazy stuff that's happening to us as a nation of people, according to the judicial system, is a direct result of the, of our own disobedience. So it's like we shot our own self in the foot. And that's a difficult way to look at it in a way that we don't want to accept it. But when we start acknowledging these things and accept what we have called, then y'all start hearing us. And you start bringing about some changes that's, you know, some necessary changes. So, I mean, that's very true.
So, I mean, even when you look at it from the broader scope, so when they talk about, when the scripture talks about us moving and reigning with Christ, this is essentially what we're going to be doing.
Yes, exactly. Matter of fact, since you mentioned that, let me see how much more we got. Okay, we got quite a few verses left. So, since you mentioned that, we don't have to turn there. I'm just going to go there myself, just for the sake of time, because it's already 8. That's what Isaiah 11. We talked about it quite a bit, but you don't have to go there. It's just Isaiah 11, verse 2, and it shows that we have to operate the same way because this is what Christ is. Isaiah 11 and 2 says, and I think I'll read verse 2 through 4. It says, the spirit of Jehovah shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of the knowledge and of the fear of Jehovah, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of Jehovah, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, senses, okay? Neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with a rod of his mouth, with the rod of his mouth, and with his breath, and with the breath of his lips, shall he slay the wicked. And so, when you look at it, it's based upon his mindset. And so when he even said with the breath of his lips, it's talking about the words that come out of his mouth from his wisdom. Okay? So the words that he's speaking is coming from the wisdom of his understanding that calls him now to slay the wicked. Okay? Now when you look at the word slay, it means to die, or it means to kill, but at the same time, it's from a perspective of judgment. And so when you look at that, and that's how Christ is, you know, like Alan said, we have to rule and reign the same way. That's why we're discussing the G-Race. We're getting prepared for what we're going to have to do. Okay, we can't now allow Christ to come and then we want to try to get ready. No, we got to start getting ready now. Okay, we don't know the day or the hour when he's coming, but we know the season, so we have to start adjusting our minds to think that way now. Now, verse 21 said, moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear Jehovah, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands and rulers of hundreds and rulers of fifties and rulers of ten, and let them judge the people at all seasons. See this? Okay? Let them judge the people at all seasons continually. And it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge. So shall it be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with thee. Because those greater matters is where he's going to take the yacht. Like Alan had mentioned, those lesser matters, you're able to go to the law and say, well, this is what the law says. Those greater matters, you know, okay, we don't know what to do. Okay, he go to yacht, he's able to come back and say, okay, this is what yacht is saying, you know, needs to take place as far as this matter is concerned. Just use that as an example. Then verse 23 says, if thou shalt do this thing, and Yah command thee, so then thou shalt be able to endure. Okay? Shall be able to endure. And all these people shall also go to their place in peace. Because the bottom line, we should be, here's a neat thing about what that was just revealed. the judicial system should be set up so that when it's said and done, there'll be peace. Not crazy stuff. Not the clown show they have made it with the media and all this kind of stuff. That ain't designed to bring about peace. It's foolish. Okay? And so these things should be set up so that people can go to their place and have peace about the just and righteous judgment that has been made. Verse 24 says, so Moses hearkened to the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he had said. And Moses chose able men out of all Israel and made them heads over the people, rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And they judged the people at all seasons. The hard causes they brought unto Moses, but every small matter they judged themselves. And Moses let his father-in-law depart and went his way into his own land. And we'll go ahead and stop right there. Alan, you have anything else you want to come in on before we do it?
No, just to add, in addition to Isaiah, I think 2 Timothy 2:12 says, you know, if we suffer with him, we're wrecked with him.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like things that we are enduring, it's almost like a teaching lesson. And it's almost like it's training to be good judges in that time that has come, right?
So right.
It's almost like based on how much we get and how much we understand, it'll determine whether we become the rulers over 10 or the rulers over 50 or the rulers over whatever in the time to come. Because, you know, you're going to have to be able to judge righteously. And so the qualifications for all those things are the things that we learn when we hear.
Right. And I mean, that's what I think it's in one of the books of Matthew when he was talking about the judge and every man, I think every man, when he was talking about the talents, is an example, I think that deals with judging and different things like that. And so it's just important that, you know, like Alan said, it's make sure that we are, you know, make sure that we are understanding things and dealing with things in the right way, because you know, as we're going to rule and reign with him, I mean, you know, to whom much is given, much is required. And if we operated according to the way that, you know, Yah wants us to, then, you know, it's going to be different ranks and positions and things like that in this here. It is showing us a type of it now.
I mean, those are the many crowns and things that all come. It'll be determined based on what you do.
Exactly. And so, you know, it's vital for us to, you know, understand that. And so if we're being judgmental based upon foolishness and different things like that, then we don't have a whole lot of responsibility in the kingdom. Because we would tear up the lives of people from the foolishness that we, you know, here we have a position of authority, but we use it and we operate in it foolishness, you know. And that's why, again, you know, when you look at Isaiah 11, it says he don't judge out the sight of his eyes. In other words, he don't judge based upon his senses. That's what Moses is being dealt with here. Moses, you can't do this, man, because if you do, you're going to start making judgment based upon your senses. You know, you're gonna see your home boy, and it's gonna be, oh man, I remember you, man. Don't worry, I'm gonna hook you up. You know, kind of deal. No, it was like, no, judge it righteously, and we all have to make sure that we're doing that now, because if we don't, then y'all gonna be like, you know what? I can't trust you to rule and reign with me in the kingdom, because your judgment or our judgment and decision making was not according to righteousness. You know, before our Savior sets up his kingdom. So we got to do that now. We got to get it right now. It's very true. All right, we good? Okay, I'll go ahead and stop here. Father, we bless you for just another facet of understanding. We just so grateful that you love us enough to reveal to us true It just gives us an understanding that you do have great responsibility for us as a ministry, for even all of us individually. You have great responsibility for us to rule and reign in your kingdom, simply because you've given us this wisdom, this knowledge, this understanding. We bless you for it in the name of Yehoshua. We do pray. Amen. Kumbaya, Maya. Kumbaya, kumbaya, maya, kumbaya, kumbaya, maya, kumbaya, maya, kumbaya. Y'all remember, worship God in spirit and in truth.